Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires.
Father, we thank you for your presence with us. And we pray now that as we look at your word, we may hear your voice speaking to us, enabling us to follow Christ. Amen. Is it possible to live for Christ in the 21st century? I watched again the other day the debate between William Lane Craig and Lewis Walport. William Lane Craig and Lewis Walport are professors. One is a Christian and the other is an atheist. The debate was chaired by John Humphreys. Well, together, Walport and Humphreys poured scorn on the Christian arguments for faith. Perhaps you've been humiliated for your Christian faith. Perhaps it just seems too hard. In a world of materialism, sexual promiscuity, it's just too hard to live for Christ. How can we do it? How can we live for Christ? Well, as Becca pointed us to verse 3, look what it says. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him. When we know Jesus, when we have knowledge of Him, He gives us His power, the power of His Spirit, which is all that we need to lead a Christian life. We have three things on the backs of your sheets: precious faith, precious power, and precious promises. Firstly then, precious faith, verses 1 and 2. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. The foundation of our faith is the Lord Jesus. And Jesus appointed apostles, spokesmen, who would speak authoritatively for Him. When we read the apostle Peter, we're reading the teachings of Jesus. However, Peter is wonderfully humble, a servant of Jesus Christ. If we were in his shoes, we'd be tempted to boost ourselves up. But no, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. It's important that Peter is an apostle. There are clearly false teachers attacking this church, the church Peter is writing to. Some say proto-Gnostics, people claiming to have special spiritual knowledge. We don't know who they were, but they are false teachers. And into that situation, Peter says, I am the apostle. I speak for Christ. I knew the risen Christ. I was commissioned by him. I am the one you should listen to. That's what he's saying. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Notice, this faith is not something we worked up. We received it as a gift. Ephesians 2:8. We received it through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I give to Jesus the sin of my unbelief. He dies on the cross to pay for all my sin, and he gives me righteousness. He gives me faith. Notice Jesus is described as our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is one of the strongest statements of the divinity of Jesus in the Bible. This is a good verse to show to a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. Those groups deny that Jesus is God. Well, here, he is our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the foundation of our precious faith. You have received a faith as precious as ours. I wonder how you would describe your faith. Do you feel it's a strong faith? Does it feel shaky? The Apostle Peter is very clear, our faith is as precious as his. This phrase is also translated, a faith of equal standing with ours. We may be the weakest of believers. We may fail and let God down every day, which I guess we all do. But our faith is as precious as anyone's. Our faith is as precious as the apostles. Our faith is of equal standing with the apostle Peter, with the apostle Paul, and all the others. Is that how you feel? That your faith is that precious? Is that how you feel? I researched this topic and came upon a Billy Graham website. Someone had written to Billy Graham saying, why do some people have a strong faith in God and others have a weak faith? 10 years ago, a friend and I became Christians at the same summer camp in high school. But my faith is so weak compared with his. Does God just give some people a strong faith and the rest of us will always be weaker? The answer of the Billy Graham organization was that God intends for all of us to have a strong faith, which we can have if we will pray daily and read God's word daily. Maybe that's you this morning. You're asking, why am I not stronger in my faith? It could be that there's a moral dimension. You're including in your life things you know are wrong. If that is the case, you will have a weak faith. Perhaps you're neglecting church or the Bible or prayer. Perhaps you haven't got involved in serving Christ. Christians who fail to serve fail to grow. But the bottom line is that you have a faith as precious as anyone's. There is nothing to stop you living for Christ and enjoying a strong faith. This faith is based on the apostles' teachings, founded on Jesus Christ, obtained through his righteousness, and provides, verse 2, grace and peace. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This is the experience of a person with faith in Jesus. Grace. We know that we sin and let God down, yet God loves us extravagantly. He wants to pour his grace into our lives. I came across the following extract. During his time in the White House, President Carter did something that no other president that I know of has done. On several occasions, he stayed in the homes of ordinary Americans. I don't know how he picked them, but he wanted to convey that he was in tune with the needs of average Americans. If you got a call from the White House announcing that the president would like to come and stay in your home sometime next month, meaning that your living room and kitchen would be on national television, I predict that you would do some house cleaning. Your home would sparkle because you knew that the president was coming. Well, someone far greater than the president is coming. Someone far more important than Jimmy Carter or Donald Trump is coming to stay. We used to sing a song which said, "Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart." That's what Jesus has done. He's moved into our lives. And it's all of grace. I didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. Grace means God loving us and blessing us, even though we don't deserve it one little bit. Maybe you feel ashamed of your life. But Jesus is saying, "I want to come into your life. I want to show you grace. I want to pour my blessing into your life. I want to give you peace. Peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." I don't know if you know the story of Brian Shilhavy. Brian was about 18 when he felt his life was going nowhere. He was heavily into the 1970s drug culture. He smoked marijuana every day. But it didn't make him happy. And so he tried to take his own life. He took a cocktail of about 100 pills. And all that happened was he woke up after a good sleep. At the very least, the drugs should have made him very sick. So then he tried to kill himself by driving his car at 85 miles an hour into a lamppost. He took the lamppost clean out of its fixture, and the car was utterly destroyed. But again, he was unhurt. And this was in 1979, before airbags. Gradually, Brian began to realize that God had preserved his life for a purpose. After some more years of partying and taking drugs, Brian gradually realized the truth of this verse, that peace could be his in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. And so Brian turned to Jesus. He repented of his sins. He made Jesus his king. He made Jesus his savior, his rescuer, from hell for heaven. That's the way to know peace with God. And it's on offer this morning. Precious faith. Secondly, precious power, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. I wonder what you think you need to live a Christian life. Perhaps you feel, if only my health was better, if only my bank balance was better, if only I was more gifted, then I could live for Christ. But no, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. I've referred to my Auntie Glenys before in sermons. She lived for Christ all her life. And then at the age of 59, she was struck down with rheumatoid arthritis and made a complete cripple. She could hardly do anything. And that's how she lived until her death at 84 in 2013. She had nothing left of her own power. It was all taken away. And yet she triumphed spiritually. She kept living for Christ to the end. Jesus' divine power gave her everything she needed for a godly life. You may feel weak, but God wants to give you his power. This power comes to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. When we trust in Christ, he puts his Spirit in us so that we have the power to live for Jesus. If you're a Christian, that's true of you. It is true of you. It doesn't matter if we feel weak. It's normal to feel weak as a Christian. It wouldn't do to turn up here on a Sunday and tell you how weak I'm feeling. I do feel weak. We all feel spiritually weak. That is normal. But God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. If we still feel strong in ourselves, we can't access the power of the Holy Spirit. All the glory goes to Jesus because we rely completely on his power. Notice, word and spirit work together perfectly. The Spirit strengthens us through the word. Verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge, there's the word, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. As we get to know him through the word, as we grow in our knowledge of him, we experience power to his own glory because of his own goodness. Precious faith, precious power, and thirdly, precious promises, verse 4. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises. I had the privilege of speaking on this passage at Becca's grandmother's funeral recently, on this very passage. I realized how precious these promises had been to her. Very great and precious promises. I wonder, are they precious to you? The promise of God's love, the promise of the gospel, the promise of forgiveness, the promise of a new life, the promise of heaven. God has given us precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. That's an extraordinary promise. Here we are in our sin. We love to sin. We're programmed to be selfish. We're programmed to break God's law. We do this even on the best of days. But through God's promises, we can be set free and we can begin to change. We begin to take on God's nature, the divine nature. The Holy Spirit creates in us the family likeness. If you know my father, you will know that he and I share certain features. One is a pot belly. Another is a very long nose. Third is large ears. That's the family likeness. And far more wonderfully, the Holy Spirit begins to create in us the family likeness, the likeness of the Father, his holiness, his love, his character, the likeness of the Son. Isn't it a wonderful thing to participate in the divine nature? Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. There is terrible corruption in the world. It operates at every level of society. Politicians come into power promising to clean things up. Tony Blair said his government would be whiter than white. But there is corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And it will get us because we have these evil desires. It will spoil our life to some degree. It may spoil our marriage because of our evil desires. It may spoil our friendships. It may spoil our work life. The only thing to do is escape. That's what we must do. Escape. Escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Escape from sin. Escape to Jesus. He alone has power to save, to forgive, to cleanse, to heal. He alone can put his Spirit in our lives as we trust in his precious promises. Precious faith, precious power, precious promises. Are these things precious to you? Do you love God? Do you love Jesus? Do you love his word? Is it possible to live for Christ in the 21st century? Yes, it is. It is possible. Believe that today. Go out into the world saying, yes, it is possible. I can live for Christ by faith. Can't do it on my own. Can't do it in my own strength. But I can do it by faith. By faith in the promises of God. By the power of the Spirit. Let's pray. Moment of silence for each one of us to talk to God for ourselves. How has God spoken to you today? What do you need to say to him? Here is your opportunity. Father, hear the prayers of your people. Minister your grace to us. Minister your peace to us. Fill us afresh with your Spirit. Thank you that you have given us everything that we need to lead a godly life. May it be our experience. In Jesus' name, amen.